Time is 7:46. Joining us on the line from Israel, Tamar Yona. Tamar, good morning to you. How are you?
Shalom to you, Howard, and hello from all of the Israel News Talk Radio staff.
A very, very good morning. So I saw this very, very strange topic, and I tried to follow it on some of the media outlets, but it has me a bit confused because I can't figure out if Eisenkot is being figurative or literal when he says Hezbollah attack plan uncovered to cause a massive earthquake in Israel.
Well, as we now know, Israel has discovered several tunnels going from southern Lebanon by the Hezbollah into Israel, and they were planning attacks. These were not tunnels where somebody has to hunch over and crawl. These are tunnels that you could even get, some of these tunnels you could even get like a truck through that could carry ammunition, troops, etc.
Right. So, do we know, do we have a handle on how many tunnels there have actually been? I mean, I know that they keep releasing the figures from time to time.
I'm not sure how many we know about, but we've already discovered at least 5 of them. And I can tell you, Howard, very interesting. My son, who is a paratrooper, he's in the reserves now, but when he was serving up on the northern border, he would tell me, Ima, which means mother in Hebrew. Ima, I'm lying in bed. They have like bunks over there. Mm-hmm. And I see the pictures on the wall moving and shaking.
Wow.
And this was several years ago when they were building the tunnels. But Israel always denied that there was anything going on. Perhaps they wanted to keep things secret so the Hezbollah would continue to do so. They can get more information, etc. But even then, it was frightening to be in a place where any minute you think someone could pop up from your floor or from the ground in front of your building structure with a machine gun and start opening fire.
You know, for years we heard about, we heard about those, some of the types of stories that you're talking about, and people thought they were actually losing their minds on some of the kibbutzim and some of the areas up there because they were sure they heard something and then they didn't know what they heard. The impression that we got was they weren't being believed. Do you think now, looking back at it, that in fact the Israeli military or Israeli intelligence were well aware of what was going on but rather, as you said, just using it to gather information?
Well, I think it can only be a guess, but my guess would be that we probably did after reports came in, after our intelligence gets information. And let me just remind you, Howard, and all of your listeners, that how does Israel get information? I mean, there is a piece in the article that you're referring to that was from the Times of Israel, and they were saying that Eisenkot once quipped that if Nasrallah, who is the head of the Hezbollah, knew what we know about him, he'd be the most worried man in the Middle East. So where does Israel get all this information about Nasrallah and about what their plans are and how do we know about impending terror attacks? And that's because a lot of the good, peace-loving and freedom-loving Arabs that want law and order and a peaceful future for their children, they're giving Israel this information. There could be other reasons as well. Maybe they have a brother in Israel or whatever it is. They are giving Israel this information at the risk of death, but they want these corrupt and ruthless leaders out of their countries as well.
Yeah, very, very interesting. The other story that I also found fascinating is that a biblical site in central Israel, that's linked to the Ark of the Covenant has been unearthed. I mean, it's almost, what fantasies are made of, finding a link to the Ark of the Covenant. Tell me about the story.
Well, the story hasn't really made huge news here in Israel, but it's difficult to do a lot of archaeological digs, and especially where this place is that you're speaking about, Howard, there is a convent there with nuns, and it's very difficult diplomatically, religious sensitivity-wise, to be able to go and do digs, especially that's going to prove that Judaism is correct, that the Torah and our history, our Bible is correct, and it's difficult to be able to do those things. You have to get their cooperation. Maybe they want you to stop digging, etc. Interestingly, though, the reason that there is a convent there. You have to ask yourself why does there just happen to be a convent right where a very holy place that may have held the Ark of the Covenant is, and that is because when the conquerors would come, just as the Temple Mount today has a mosque on top of it, the conquerors would come and build their churches or their mosques on top of their conquered ground and able to lay claim to it, to occupy it. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this convent, that during the time when the Christians came into Israel and occupied the land, they built their churches on and next to holy places. That's why you'll see a lot of churches also in the old city of Jerusalem, because this is where all the history happened. This is where they want to get their roots in and occupy as well.
What's interesting is that this must be an ongoing problem in Israel. The whole country effectively is one massive archaeological site. And I do know that I've read some articles that, when people were building and they came across something, they would try and keep it a bit quiet because they didn't want their building, their construction to be stopped. It's obviously an ongoing conflict between modernization and never mind the whole religious aspect, but modernization and trying to see, because once you build a massive structure over it, that history's gone forever.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, it's very funny because if you go into certain places, like even in Tiberias, or when they were building the train in Jerusalem, and they would be digging and they would find artifacts, a lot of times the construction would stop, the archaeologists have to be called in, things have to be sorted out, and it takes a long time. And in Tiberias also, there's a place on, I think it's Rehov Habanim Street, where you will see a structure in the middle of the street because they could not destroy it. So in the middle of the street, there's like a meridian there that protects the structure. And it's fascinating as you're going through the streets in Israel.
Does this present serious conflict within various structures of government and municipalities on an ongoing basis? Or have they sort of determined a relatively fluid and, a process to deal with it?
Well, I think that there are laws and there are procedures and they have to follow them, but, special interests come in too. And so, I'm sure there's a lot of wheeling and dealing in offices, but, in the end, I believe that the archaeology that, we're finding, is going to surface even if projects have to be slowed down because it is so important.
And can you also give us, you mentioned the story with the trains that are being developed. But I know that there's a fast train now available from Ben Gurion Airport. How is that all going? When do they expect the fast train between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv to be up and running?
Well, the train is actually up and running right now, excuse me, from Ben Gurion Airport, which is right near Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem. And if somebody wants to take a train from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv or vice versa, you would transfer at Ben Gurion Airport. There's another platform there where you would take the train and continue on to Tel Aviv from Jerusalem. So it's quite quick. It's quite fast. It's right now it's free for everybody to travel, I think, for the next 3 months, if I'm not mistaken, in order to get people used to it and to see the benefits of it. And then afterwards, they'll start charging.
Absolutely fantastic. I'm chatting to Tamar Yonah. She's a journalist and managing director of Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you for taking the time to chat to us. I really appreciate it, bringing us up to date on the Israel news. And we look forward to speaking to you again. Have a Shabbat Shalom.